CD 2.
Windows blew out and iron gutters melted. Roofs lifted into the air and settled again. Buildings shook. But this storm had been blowing in from far across the plains, pushing the natural background magic ahead of it. It dumped it now all in one go. They said afterwards that the bolt of lightning hit a clockmaker's shop in the Street of Cunning Artificers, stopping all the clocks at that instant. But that was nothing. In Baker Street, a couple who'd never met before became electrically attracted to one another and were forced to get married after 2 days for the sake of public decency. In the Assassin's Guild, the chief armourer became hugely, and since he was in the armoury at the time, tragically attractive to metal. Eggs fried in their baskets, apples roasted on the greengrocer's shelves, candles lit themselves, cartwheels exploded. And the ornate tin bath of the Arts Chancellor of Unseen University was lifted neatly off the floor, sizzled across his study, and then flew off the balcony and onto the lawn in the octangle several stories below, without spilling more than a cupful of suds. Arch Chancellor Mustrum Ridcully paused with his long-handled scrubbing brush hovering halfway down his back and stared around. Tiles smashed to the ground around him. Water boiled in the ornamental fountain nearby. Ridcully ducked as a stuffed badger, the origin of which was never ascertained, flew across the lawn and smashed through a window. He winced as he was hit by a brief and inexplicable shower of small cogwheels, which pattered down all around him. He stared as half a dozen watchmen dashed into the octangle and headed up the steps to the library. Then, gripping the sides of the bath, the Arch-Chancellor stood up. Foaming water cascaded off him, as it would off some ancient leviathan erupting from the abyssal sea.
"Mr. Stevens," he bellowed, his voice bouncing off the imposing walls, "where the is my hat?"
He sat down again and waited. There was a few minutes of silence, and then Ponder Stibbons, head of inadvisably applied magic and prelector of Unseen University, came running out of the main door carrying Ridcully's pointy hat. The Arch-Chancellor snatched at it and rammed it on his head.
"Very well," he said, standing up again. "Now we'll care to tell at the is going on, and why old Tom Ing repeatedly?"
"Magic, sir. Someone up the mechanism," Ponder shouted above the sound-destroying silences.
Old Tom, the university's venerable clock, told not sounds but silences. Not simple, ordinary silences, but intervals of noise-absorbing non-sound that filled the world with loud soundlessness. There was the dying metallic noise from the big clock tower. Ponder and Ridcully waited a few moments, but the city stayed full of normal noise like the collapse of masonry and distant screams.
"Right," said Ridcully, as if grudgingly awarding the world a mark for trying. "What was all that about, Stibbons? Why are there policemen in the library?"
"A big magical storm, sir, in several thousand gigathorms. I believe that the watch is chasing a criminal."
"Well, they can't just run in here without asking," said Ridcully, stepping out of the bath and striding forward. "What do we pay our taxes for, after all?"
We don't actually pay taxes, sir," said Ponder, running after him. "The system is that we promise to pay taxes if the city ever asks us to, provided the city promises never to ask us, sir. We make a voluntary..."
"Well, at least we have an arrangement, Stibbons."
Yes, sir. May I point out to you that you..."
"And that means they have to ask permission. The essential decencies must be maintained," said Ridcully firmly. "And I am the master of this college."
On the subject of decencies, sir, you are not, in fact, wearing..."
Ridcully strode through the open doors of the library.
"What's going on here?"
he demanded. The watchman turned and stared. A large blob of foam, which up until that point had been performing sterling service in the cause of the essential decencies, slipped slowly to the floor.
"Well," he snapped, "haven't you lot seen a wizard before?"
A watchman snapped to attention and saluted.
"Captain Carrot, sir, we've never seen so much of a wizard, sir."
Ridcully gave him the slow, blank stare used by those with acute uptake grasping deficiency.
"What's he talking about, Stibbons?"
he said out of the corner of his mouth.
You're insufficiently dressed, sir."
"What? I've got my hat on, haven't I?"
"Yes, sir."
"Hat equals wizard. Wizard equals hat. Everything else is frippery. Anyway, I'm sure we're all men of the world,"
Ridcully added, looking around. For the first time, he took in the other details about the watchman.
"And dwarves of the world? Ah, trolls of the world too, I see. And..."